Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to really get into the core of important topics, pull out those key insights, you know, to get the full picture. Today, we're tackling something pretty challenging in healthcare. It's this critical fight, really, for survival that so many small and rural hospitals face across the country. It sounds like immense odds, but, well, it turns out smart innovation might just be the lifeline they need. Our main source for this deep dive is a really interesting piece from Healthcare IT News. It's titled, Pooling IT Resources Can Help Rural Hospitals Keep Doors Open, Stay Secure. Andrea Fox wrote it, published June 10th, 2025. And it features insights from two key people, Chris Dangline, who's the CEO of Curay, and George Pappas, the CEO of Enterprise by Health Catalyst.
Yeah, you've really hit on something vital there. These smaller rural places, they are under incredible pressure. It's like a double whammy, serious money problems, financial strain, and then you layer on the significant cybersecurity risks. And it's particularly tough for them, right? Because unlike the big hospital systems, they often just don't have the sheer amount of resources. You know, the specialized staff, the big budgets to handle everything from patients who can't pay, that's uncompensated care, all the way to fighting off sophisticated cyber attacks. It's a constant balancing act just to stay afloat.
Okay, so you've laid out this huge pressure cooker situation. It makes you wonder, how exactly does technology stop being just another expense and actually become, well, a lifeline? That's what we want to unpack today. We'll start with what seems like a real game changer, these innovative financial solutions from Curay. And then we can touch on how that same idea, that collaborative spirit, helps with cybersecurity too.
Right.
The article really emphasizes how bad the financial struggle is, particularly for what they call rural emergency hospitals. Chris Stangline from Curay makes a big point, the patient. They've basically become the single largest payer in healthcare now.
Yeah. That's a huge shift.
Which leads to this massive affordability gap. People end up putting off care they need. And for a small rural hospital, if they can cut down on uncompensated care, you know, the services they provide but don't get paid for, if they can reduce that by even, say, 10 or 20%, that can literally be the difference between keeping the lights on or closing down for good.
That's stark. And it's where Curay comes in, which is really insightful. As Chris explains it in the article, their whole mission is about reducing that financial risk for the providers that comes from patient bills, but at the same time, making care more affordable and accessible for all patients.
Okay.
So they're bridging that gap you mentioned, helping these hospitals become more sustainable long term. They basically simplify the whole confusing world of patient payments, turning something that was a liability, essentially, into actual revenue the hospital can count on.
So how does that work on the ground, like practically?
Well, the article gets into it. Curay's platform uses a whole bunch of different data sources. Think about automatically checking if a patient might be eligible for Medicaid or making it easier to find and apply for help from charities or philanthropic funds.
Oh.
And even offering flexible payment plans, self-pay financing options. It's not just about making things smoother. It's fundamentally about access.
Right.
Chris mentioned some compelling numbers for patients who actually apply for these flexible payment plans, something like 80 to 94% get approved.
Wow, that high.
Yeah. And crucially, that includes people who've historically been left out, like folks without bank accounts or undocumented individuals.
That access piece feels really important. It's not just helping the hospital's books, it's helping the patients directly.
Exactly. And that patient help directly strengthens the hospital's financial performance. Stangline shared this really striking example. There was one big multi-state health system, dozens of rural hospitals under its umbrella. They processed over $100 million in transactions through Curay from about 90,000 applicants.
100 million.
Yeah. And get this, 93% of those applicants were approved. That is a huge return, a massive impact.
It's incredible.
It takes these old-fashioned, often paper-based ways of doing things and just automates it, makes it efficient. It makes getting care financially possible for the patient and the provider. It really enables more equitable access while also boosting the hospital's bottom line. It's both.
Curay's approach on the financial side sounds, well, transformative. But what's also compelling, as you mentioned earlier, is how this strategy of pooling resources, it isn't just for the money side of things, right? The article brings up how that same collaborative strength is vital for tackling cybersecurity.
Precisely. George Pappas from Enterprise, he points out that small hospitals are often, unfortunately, prime targets for cybercriminals.
Why is that? Just fewer defenses?
Basically, yeah. They lack the huge IT departments and budgets of larger places, and sometimes struggle even with basic security hygiene. So his firm offers solutions like virtual CISOs. Think of it like having a top-tier chief information security officer, a real cybersecurity expert, but shared across several smaller facilities.
Ah, like a timeshare CISO.
Sort of. That plus other shared IT resources, it leverages the same core idea. There's safety in numbers, you pool expertise, you pool defenses against threats that are just getting more and more sophisticated.
Okay, so bringing this all together, what's the main takeaway here? It seems pretty clear from this deep dive that smart tech and these collaborative strategies, they're not just about bare survival for rural hospitals.
Yeah.
It feels like it's about enabling actual growth.
I think that's exactly right.
These approaches go beyond just keeping the doors open. They seem to drive real improvements in financial performance and shore up critical defenses.
Absolutely. When you tackle those financial risks directly, like with Cure's patient-first financing, and you improve access to care, hospitals can do so much more than just avoid shutting down. They can actually strengthen their finances, maybe increase their margins, potentially attract more patients because care is more accessible.
Right.
And ultimately, that improves health outcomes for the entire community they serve. It's about building a truly sustainable model for these vital local services, making sure every community, has the care it needs close to home.
So here's something for you, our listeners, to think about as we wrap up. Consider how these kinds of innovative models, financial recovery, shared resources, and healthcare, how might they inspire similar solutions, similar to resilience, in other sectors that might be struggling? Or maybe even think about it from a personal angle. How could you, as a patient, proactively engage with resources out there to bridge any affordability gaps you might face in your own healthcare journey? Something to mull over.